from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader.
You know what I'm bringing today. Let's go.
Go to work.
Let's go.
A-Town.
Sports Radio 610.
Ain't no days off around here, baby. No days off for In the Loop. The Texans might be off, and they deserve it. They've been out there working. The Texans might be off today. The Houston Astros might be off today. But it ain't no days off here on Sports Radio 610, and it damn sure ain't no days off here on In the Loop.
The weatherman is off today.
Hey, actually, the weatherman is busy. Yeah. Hey, these are the types of days where the weatherman get called in to ask and asked to work a little bit extra, an hour or two extra, man. I'm glad you mentioned that, actually, Lopez, because it took me 45 minutes to get to this station, and I was only 15 minutes away.
Yeah.
15 minutes away, and it took me 45 minutes to get here because I had to resort to at least three different possible routes.
Yeah.
Like, up, not going down Newcastle. Let me see if I can go, if I can take this way.
Oh, yeah, that's a flood street right there, man.
Right, 100%. And I know this, but before I could even
get on that street.
Before I could even get to the flood, bro.
Yeah.
The traffic. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I couldn't even get to where the water was because of all of the cars that were backed up, man. Yeah. Like, It is, like, astounding how the weather makes this place. But, like I said, man, no days off for us.
No days off.
We are here and we are working, baby.
Us. Hey, man, we're playing football 1 week from today.
Dude, I cannot wait. I've said this, that there is a little bit of buzzkill or, like, lack of joy in knowing that the main guys aren't going to play.
Yeah.
But just the fact that it's going to be real football, not practice, which has been fun to be out there at practice, not a scrimmage, maybe a glorified scrimmage,
mm-hmm.
but not drills, not stretching, but actual versus, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, one team versus another, one helmet versus another, one logo versus another, and the Texans get to essentially debut the NFL season with the Hall of Fame game a week from tonight or a week from today against the Chicago
Bears. Yeah, I also feel that. Like, okay, so it's going to be a heavy dose of Quintez Cephas and Jaden Jahnke.
Yeah. They might bring Jared Wayne back. Or what was my dude's name, the receiver that they let go?
Yeah,
somebody like that.
Ali Gay, who cuts an imposing figure, by the way. He's number 90. I know you've seen him out there. He's a big dude, yeah. Tariq Barnes. Who else?
Remember Sammy Coates?
Sammy Coates.
He was a thing here. Everybody thought he was going to be a thing.
Yeah, so I get it.
Brother couldn't even get on the field.
A Lestar Jean type of game.
Yeah. I get it, and I share your feeling on that front, but I'm kind of here for the event, man. Like, you know they're going to be interviewing C.J. Stroud on the sideline. They're going to be talking about the Texans' prospects. It's a celebration of Andre Johnson. They're going to be showing us some Andre Johnson highlights. You know, so it's almost like, yeah, we're watching the stand-ins, but the show's damn good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I was thinking about that when I saw Dre on the field over the last couple of days.
Yeah, yesterday.
And he's essentially been there. I don't know if he's got perfect attendance, but I know every time I've been out there, I've seen him, I've dapped him up. And it's so funny to me how unassuming he is out there, but also carries this aura with him. And, oh, by the way, and he had that anyway before the Hall of Fame nod, but, oh, by the way, this dude is about to put on the yellow jacket. I can't wait to see Lopez, like, just knowing that the whole team is going to be there to celebrate it, like the current team. And then you already know, like, we've heard David Anderson talking about this with the morning show, and we can just imagine. I mean, we know plenty of former players that are going to be there.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be like this real special Texans contingency. Like, I don't know if we will probably have ever seen that many Texans in that significant of a football place at one time as we will with Andre Johnson going into the Hall.
And it's funny, you're absolutely right, because like yesterday I was walking into the practice facility and I saw Andre Johnson. So I stopped and said hello and shook his hand. And as I'm walking away, you almost feel different about it now, don't you? You're like, dude's a Hall of Famer, man.
Yeah.
You know, and we've known Andre, we've seen Andre, we've watched him play, but like once he, it's like that presidential thing that people talk about, like this person looks president, you know, when they hit a certain role. And I've obviously we've all dealt with numerous Hall of Famers all over the country, but this dude was here, you know, from the start. It's just a different feel, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally get it. It's funny. It's kind of, I guess, in the same sentence, but I felt that way looking at D'Amico Ryans and Gerard Johnson for some reason.
Yeah.
Just seeing them in coaching mode, we're just like, man, I know these guys.
Those are our guys.
Yeah, but just seeing, like, Gerard Johnson talk to the media.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, this dude all button up. Look at this dude sounding like a coach.
Yeah.
And like, same thing with D'Amico Ryans. Yeah. I think Arian Foster said that about D'Amico Ryans. He saw him in the airport.
Yeah.
And said, why are you sitting there talking like a coach, man? I'm like, bro, what you doing, man? You D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah, it's funny hearing guys talk who really know the guy. Like, because they got to show a public face, right? And it's going to be different. It has to be different from the way things are behind the scenes. But it is funny when either you know that person behind the scenes or you know somebody that knows that person from behind the scenes, and then they get to talk about it and they're like, really?
Yeah.
Like, for example, I saw on Facebook a young lady who is now going to be an assistant principal at a high school, at a local high school. I'm not going to say which one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, word? You? You know what I mean? Like, because I know you for real.
Yeah.
Like in real life. Yeah. And so, like, the idea that you're going to be somebody's assistant principal, this has happened to me before,
dude,
too.
I could talk about this all day.
Where I'm like, oh, you are bleeping me right now.
The funniest is when you meet somebody and they, like, at their worst, like, drunk or high or something like that. And they be like, oh, yeah, she's a kindergarten teacher.
Yeah.
You're like, wait, what?
That's kind of what I'm getting at here, Ziggy.
My best friend growing up, and I'm talking about a guy that, you know, you say there's things that you don't want to talk about sometimes from your youth.
100%.
Neither one of us want to talk about some of the things that we did.
Secrets that we're going to take to the grave.
Yeah. Like, I've seen this dude do some wild stuff. He is a judge in Bear County now. He's a judge. I'm like, dude, I've told him straight to his face because he's still one of my best friends and I see him occasionally. I was like, dude, I could end your career like overnight.
Yeah. Yeah. I now have at least two of those in my life. Yeah. At least two of those.
Yeah.
How do you think, this is another thing I'm anticipating with Andre Johnson going into the Hall, and that's just going to be such a fun moment for us here locally. I've probably underplayed it a little bit in my mind because we're so focused on the game, or on the practices, on the camp, on the games coming up. But this is really going to be a special moment, I think, for all of us. You know what I'm really looking forward to, Lopez, and maybe even like you more so, kind of knowing this person better than I do? Gary Kubiak introducing him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I know it's not going to be a roast. It'll be a different kind of tone.
He'll have his moments.
But Kubiak, like, I did not know that he was that good of a public speaker.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, just able to work a room with the charisma that he's able to do so with. Like, I did not know that until we had that roast for John McClain several years back. And ever since then, I'm like, hey, if I find out Gary Kubiak is giving a speech or talking in public and I can make it, I'm going to want to have an eye on that. So, like, that is something I don't think anybody who doesn't know or is not aware of Gary Kubiak is looking forward to, but something I absolutely am looking forward to.
Hell, I had a class with Gary Kubiak at A&M.
I think I've heard you say that before.
Yeah. I mean, it was...
Forgot about that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's fun, those types of things. But, man, it's just getting back to how we started. It's going to be a more of a celebration and an event, and we're all going to be here for it. I don't care if Cephas, you know, has one catch or nine catches, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Who's going to be the star of the game? That's an interesting one. Maybe something that we touch on a little bit more next week. But who is going to be the star of the game with presumably no stars?
Tim Boyle.
Oh.
Right? Because he's going to have to play at least a half, maybe three quarters.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah. I could see, like, Davis Mills starting the game.
Hold on. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What does it say about their backup quarterback position that I didn't even give any consideration to the quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Like, when I asked that question, nowhere in my mind was Davis Mills, Case Keenum, Tim, like, none of them.
Yeah.
I didn't consider any of them in that conversation. I'm encouraged that you even brought one up. What does it say about that room, though? Like, yikes.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
We've talked about it. I mean, all you want is one or two games out of these cats, because if you have to get more of them, it doesn't matter anyway.
You think it could be a British Brooks game?
Absolutely.
A Jawar Jordan game?
That's a candidate right there.
That is the one that I think,
yeah.
Okay, here's the time, here's the moment. And there could be more throughout the preseason. I know it's a shorter preseason and all of that. But this game in particular, when you do not anticipate the main players playing, and hell, we can talk about this as well, the running back position, and hey, Joe Mixon has missed a number of practices in a row now. I think he's only practiced basically twice since training camp started. So that's what, at least four practices we're talking about. Yeah. So, like, keep an eye out on that running back position. But the opportunity that's in front of the other guys in that running back room, like, we, I think, can fairly assume, obviously Joe Mixon's on the team, can fairly assume Damian Pierce is going to at least make the team. How much he contributes is going to be his own question. But those guys on the bubble, who's going to be that extra? I think Dari Ogunbowale, because of his special teams acumen, is going to make the team. But if your name is not Dari, Damian, or Joe, if it's British, Jawar, or JT, like, are you a practice squad candidate? Could you actually make this 53-man? Are you auditioning for another team? And is this your moment? Because this is not just any preseason game. As we've talked about, this is the Hall of Fame game where all eyes will be on this particular contest.
Yeah, no, I think British Brooks is a good candidate. Tim Boyle, maybe our guy Cephas. He made a play yesterday right in front of us.
What is your perfect kind of day? I want to get you in on this too, Figgy. What's your perfect day off? Do you prefer a day off where you're just chilling, relaxing? Like, maybe like a day like this where it's raining, you don't have anything to do, and you're just inside?
Yes.
Or is it one of those where it's adventurous? I get to do this, I get to do that, checklist, you know, busybody, that type. What is your preferred day off? And I'm not talking about a weekend. I'm talking about just random one day off. You go
like
to work
during the week.
Yeah,
like a random Wednesday.
Yeah, but
like
then you got to go back to work the next day.
Yeah, so not fishing for me.
Yeah, right. Because fishing would obviously to me be more, especially the way you do it.
A weekend trip.
Yeah, because I do like whatever.
One day, 24 hours off.
Off day at home. I don't mean to sound like a martyr or anything.
This is you. What do you want to do?
I love just getting little stuff done around the house that I've been meaning to get to. You know, like I'm going to chill. Don't get me wrong. Like I'm going to just veg for a while, maybe watch a show. By the way, Figgy, I heard Fall of a Titan.
Okay.
Oh, I have not yet. Okay.
It made me want to go see I can't wait for the Netflix show now even more.
Nah, it's good.
But I'll veg out. But I like, okay, I've been really meaning to do this with whatever. The front porch has a board loose. You know, stuff like that. Just like little projects. Nothing that's going to kill me, but just little piddling stuff. I love just kind of staying busy around the house.
See, for me, it's kind of a... there is a guilt. I get something out of getting things done, but I also have this guilty pleasure of not doing anything because I feel like I got away with something.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like I at the same time get something out of, hey, whether it's, you know, this a small task at the house.
Yeah.
Clean this up, fix that, whatever it is. Or if it's just, man, I didn't do anything. I didn't hear from any, maybe shut your phone off.
Yeah.
Don't respond to messages. Like, just go dark.
Mm-hmm.
Go ghost.
I'll give you a good example. After the barrel, you know, we did all the work, but this, I'm not talking about that. But like, I had like a Sunday afternoon off or something. Actually, it was after Texans practice on Saturday. I went home and several lights, like 15 or 20 lights. We have lights in our tree in the backyard. We're out. So I got out the ladder, just got some bulbs and started with that. To me, is therapeutic. Just like doing little stuff like that.
See, I would much rather spend my day off doing the thing that you just mentioned about the podcast.
Yeah.
Like if I could just knock out three podcasts, maybe three or four episodes from a show to binge watch.
Yeah.
And then maybe by the end of the day, like after I've gotten all of my laziness out of the way, maybe I start getting stuff done at like 6-7 in the evening, you know, towards the end of the, before I go to bed. That's kind of my perfect day. Yeah. That's my perfect day.
Biggie?
What about you, man?
My perfect day is just laying around being a lazy piece of crap, man. Just not doing anything. Lay around in the bedroom for a couple hours. Go out, get something to eat. Sit on the couch, watch some TV, maybe play the game a little bit, then go right back in the room, lay down some more. Just be lazy, man.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Man, I'm telling you, no days off. No days off, man. The Texans, the Astros, they get their days off. We do not. Just kind of fan. Figgy got his yesterday, though.
Oh, yeah. How was that lunch, Figgy?
Yeah, let's just be real about it.
It was cool. It didn't seem like a day off for me, man, because I went to Texans practice like normal. I actually stayed for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Left and went right to a lunch with the with our company. And by the time I finished, by the time I got home, it was 2 o'clock. I didn't do anything. And then I had to shoot some content at Atomic Wings later that day, so it felt like I wasn't off at all, man. that's the worst time to be off, man. When you off that day, but you doing work related stuff.
That's what I was gonna ask.
And by the time you get off, it's like, damn, I would have been done with the show by now. Yeah.
Does a celebratory work lunch and or dinner feel like work?
But yes.
Especially if the boss is there. Like I would say if the boss is not there, maybe not.
I was gonna say it depends.
Yeah, I mean, if it's after work hours, later, like that evening, we all having drinks or something like that, don't feel like work. But if it's a lunch with your coworkers and all that stuff in the middle of the day, nah, that's work for me, man. Yeah. You lucky I ain't clock in on that one. I would have clocked in.
You should have.
Put that on my time sheet.
Yeah. You should have. All right, so we're a week into training camp, a week plus now. Let's get a quick temperature check here. What are some things, Lopez, that maybe you were concerned about going into training camp that you are either not concerned about at all or at least less concerned about?
Yeah, I think that's something that we all have different answers. I was not concerned about backup quarterback. I'm kind of concerned.
Is that why you want to see a Tim Boyle game at the at the Hall of Fame game?
Maybe.
So you can feel better about the situation?
Maybe. I don't know. All I'm saying is it goes back to what we talked about. If C.J. Stroud is out for an extended period of time, none of this matters. But if he gets nicked up just a little whatever, you got to have two games without C.J. Stroud. You got to win at least one of those, and hopefully both of those with a backup quarterback. You have to have a backup quarterback good enough to do that. Case Keenum has done that. He's also a year older. So, I don't know. Davis Mills has frankly not looked very good. And Tim Boyle isn't getting a lot of reps. He's getting some. And I don't know anything about Tim Boyle. I'm a little concerned about that. I was concerned, and you guys heard me here, about linebacker. I'm like, man, you got Christian Harris, you got Al-Shaair, and then what?
And you're less concerned about it now?
I think I am.
Why?
I think I am.
The only linebacker that we're expecting to play a lot that we've seen is Al-Shaair. You know, I don't know. I'm interested to hear your take on this.
Well, here's my take on it.
I think I'm a little bit more concerned about it now.
I mentioned this, I believe I mentioned it yesterday. You can't kill Neville Hewitt. The dude they've been trying to cut him for 3 years.
Oh, no, I'm a big Neville Hewitt fan.
They've been trying to cut him for 3 years.
I did not know Neville was going to come into this conversation.
He ran second team right behind Al-Shaair yesterday. Jake Hansen got some reps with the first team. I'm not as concerned about linebacker as I was to start. Jake Hansen looked pretty good. Yeah, you saw it.
Yeah, no, he's looked fine. I don't know how confident I am in having to rely on Jake Hansen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good if Jake,
sure.
Like if he can come in and contribute, if he can come in and give you some quality and meaningful snaps, then that would be great. But
let's keep this going.
Yeah, let's do more of this on the other side here. John Lopez, Brandon Scott, Figgy Fig, with you here on In the Loop. Coming up next, more training camp thoughts. What do we feel better about that we didn't feel as good about going in? And also, how'd you feel about that fight yesterday at training camp? That's next on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
Took a little break from the Houston Methodist Training Center, but no days off, man. No days off on In the Loop. Not at all. But we do have questions. Questions and concerns, or do we actually?
Yeah.
What were you concerned about that you are no longer concerned about after 6 training camp practices? Lopez, you were saying linebackers
backup
won.
Backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Because we don't know. And linebacker was one I was concerned about. And I'm not saying I'm not, but not as much anymore. Like, I got, the old tip of the cap to Neville Hewitt. This dude is like, they're trying and trying. It's like that old movie, North Dallas 40. They've been trying to get rid of me for 10 years, and he just hangs on. I got a couple more, and I'm interested what you guys, because you guys have been out there just as much as me every practice. Things that you were concerned about that you no longer are concerned about or not as much after the first week of training camp, and vice versa. Things that you were not concerned about that you are. I was not concerned, and I think I might be on an island on this. It's just me reading it. I was not concerned about tight end. Brevin Jordan showed a couple of signs. We know Dalton Schultz, so set him aside. He's gonna do his thing. Brevin Jordan showed a couple of signs. Quatoriano showed a couple of signs, been injured here and there. And then we all like what Cade Stover looked like in minicamp. But what I'm seeing at camp is like just a kind of a revolving turnstile of who's next up. Yesterday it was Brevin Jordan. Actually made a play. I'm not saying they're not good. I'm just saying I was not concerned. I thought Jordan would take another step and Stover would make a statement. We haven't seen that statement yet from Stover.
Yeah, Stover did have a catch in red zone, a touchdown catch in red zone 2 days ago. So it's Thursday. That was Tuesday's practice.
Yeah.
That was really the only flash that I've seen from him.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess there hasn't been anything. I would say there hasn't been anything from the tight end group that has made me discouraged by them. And I went into camp feeling like the tight end group was about as strong and about as deep as it has been in years, certainly since Nick Caserio has been here.
Yeah.
For me, like, Tegan Quatoriano is a wild card.
Mm-hmm.
If he's somebody that can stay healthy, he offers some depth and I think versatility at the position that you otherwise don't have. Like, he's the one guy out of the tight end group that I feel good about being able to do multiple things,
yeah,
like being a blocker and a pass catcher, because we've seen glimpses of him be that in the small amount of time that we've seen him play whenever he's been healthy.
Yeah.
Everybody else seems to be a little bit more either one-dimensional or, in Cade Stover's case, just still a little bit of a project being newer to the position.
Yeah.
But we know that, hey, Dalton Schultz is more of a pass catcher than anything. And look, you could argue that Brevin Jordan is like a glorified slot receiver, kind of a halfback, you know, fullback tight end. Like, he is not a traditional tight end either in size or in the way that they use him. But I do feel good about the pieces that they have. I'll say this to your point, though.
No.
If something were to happen.
No one has.
Well, if something were to happen to Dalton Schultz, I would all of a sudden not feel as great about it. I feel good about him being at the top of it and everybody else
but
just
you're gonna need two.
Being a role guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need some.
You need two at least.
You need to feel better about the guys beyond Dalton Schultz. I agree
with that. Last one from me, and then I want to know what you and Figgy, and there might be some overlap here, but from you and Figgy, I was concerned a little bit about the offensive line, and now maybe not as much. Kenyon Green has been okay. I'm not going to say great. Titus Howard has been good. I love what Blake Fisher is getting with all the reps since our Laramie Tunsil's out doing his annual retreat at training camp.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be the other one.
So, I think that the offensive line is going to be the overlap for us because I feel better. I think everybody was reasonably concerned about that unit going in and probably, like if we're being real about it, should be concerned until further notice, until they actually start playing games and they show you that they are about it, that the unit is for real. I think you should probably keep a pin in that. But I would say real quick on the Neville Hewitt thing, he's been able to stay on the team because he is an ace on special teams. Like that is a dude is a badass on special teams.
He was getting reps.
He's getting reps at linebacker because I think that the guys that they want out there, all of them are not out there. Obviously, Christian Harris has not practiced yet. I would feel a little bit uneasy if he had to play more at linebacker. I would not feel great about it as much as I love Neville Hewitt. I'll say this, though. They absolutely need to have more than Neville Hewitt and Jake Hansen as their linebacker depth. Like, it needs to be better than that.
Yeah.
Henry Toa I know has had some moments, but I don't know how much the linebacking core has impressed me beyond just Azeez Al-Shaair. Again, Christian Harris has not been out there. The one for me, Lopez, is defensive tackle.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one that had me confused in the offseason, and I was critical of it just because I didn't understand it, and I needed to see what it was going to look like at training camp to feel better about it. Not that, you know, I'm doubting D'Amico and Nick Caserio, any of that. Like, I don't get it. Yeah. Like, I don't get it. We can trust all we want, but if I don't understand something, I just got to be honest with you. Like, hey, Malik Collins and Sheldon Rankins were pretty decent for you last year. At least I thought. Why did you want to change this entire unit?
Yeah.
And then we go out there and look, and you see, obviously, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson on the edge. It speaks for itself. Like, that's dynamic. But D'Nico Autry, massive, massive dude and a badass by all accounts.
Yeah.
And Mario Edwards.
Rio.
Who we never talked about, did not discuss at all throughout the offseason, and then we get to training camp and Will Anderson says, oh yeah, by the way, that's my favorite player to watch. And then we see him lining up next to Will Anderson on passing downs and in scrimmages.
So the one thing I was concerned, I was low-key concerned about it. I wasn't as bad, but now I'm not really concerned about the cornerback position, man. Them guys was physical the last couple practices, man. I think Okuda got a pick in one of these practices, but I'm not really that concerned about it, man. I feel like, you know, maybe one of them is not a Steven Nelson, but I feel like they got about three good guys that, you know, that could possibly be a number two. And, oh, by the way, they got a rookie that's probably should be the other starter on the side of Stingley.
Yeah.
I would almost be surprised. I say this, Figgy. I'd be surprised if they don't have at least one guy between all of those that we just talked about, that you just talked about. I'd be surprised if they don't have at least one among them that can't be a Steven Nelson.
See, that's how I went into training camp because I'm like, man, they signed two guys that can probably be fighting for that number two spot, and they got a rookie. I'm like, if all three of these guys can't be as good or close to Steven Nelson, then we have a big problem.
I'm a lot less worried about that position opposite of Derek Stingley, like you, Figgy. I know we talked a lot about Kamari Lassiter. We even talked to him earlier in the week. But from where we sit right now, I'd say that I would be comfortable with either Kamari Lassiter or Jeff Okudah. So there's two options that I'd feel perfectly fine with right now, just based off of what we've seen so far, that I feel comfortable with right now opposite of Derek Stingley Jr. That's where I'm at with the cornerback position, Lopez.
So my second one, man, is at first I wasn't worried about this position, but now I'm a little worried. Running back, man.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried now because I know Mixon was a little dinged up. He wasn't practicing out there, but it kind of got me thinking, like, man, once we get in the regular season, are we going to go through this where Mixon misses a game and miss a couple weeks or something like that? We going to be relying on Damian Pierce, man.
Yeah.
So I'm a little worried about that.
Yeah.
And see, that's reasonable to me because while I feel better about Damian Pierce, based off of what we've seen at camp. So I would be fine if, let's say, Damian Pierce is having that resurgence that everybody wants him to have.
Mm-hmm.
I would feel fine about relying more on him. But if you can't rely on Joe Mixon, I don't necessarily feel great about the depth behind Damian Pierce.
You see, that's where I'm getting at.
Yeah.
I will feel better. Like, I think Damian Pierce is going to have a bounce back year. But I don't want to just rely on Damian Pierce, man. I don't want to just rely on Joe Mixon. We need a couple more guys out there where we can, you know, have a running back by committee. So that's where I'm kind of at with it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know that's fair. That's absolutely fair because the running back position, I mean, we're all going to be watching it. I mean, hell, we're talking about it during the Hall of Fame game. Let's see what British Brooks has got.
You know? Yeah, and again, the depth behind him, like, you are – A Joe Mixon being older and more injured
type of situation
away from being essentially the 2022 Texans that, mm-hmm. and again, obviously, C.J. Stroud, D'Amico Ryans, I get it. But from the running back position group, in terms of that, Damian Pierce or bust.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what that was.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you don't want to go back to that. You absolutely don't want to go back to that. John Lopez, Brandon Scott, Figgy Fig. On In the Loop coming up next on Localizer. We got to talk about this fight,
yeah,
man,
there,
from
man.
Yesterday. And also the Astros made a little bit of hay yesterday by winning and got some help within the division. We'll talk about that next on In the Loop.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're In the Loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
Who they want? Baseball Spo.
All right, so while we have been broadcasting live from the Houston Methodist Training Center, Texans training camp, the Astros have been on the road. Adam Spillane, Sports Radio 610, joins us. And Spo, a little bit underrated storyline in Houston sports. It's the Astros losing the series to the Oakland A's. It ain't the end of the world, because guess what? They won yesterday, and they got a little favor within the division, and now they are back in sole possession of the top spot in the AL West. Tell me if I'm wrong in this. Let me ask you this. The biggest takeaway from that series against the A's, and there are a couple, has to be how much we underscore the need for starting pitching, how much we can underscore the need for innings and extra depth in that rotation, which we already knew, but it was underscored.
Yeah, I don't think that it's something that we've underscored, to be honest. I think we've talked about it plenty, that this is a serious need, and you saw the two games that they lost in Oakland. The two starting pitchers, rookie starting pitchers, really struggled. Arrighetti struggled on, Monday? Mm-hmm. And then Jake Bloss really struggled on Tuesday. And it just reminds you that these are two guys that you are really having to rely on who probably aren't ready for this. Especially, I mean, Bloss was drafted a year ago. So to be a third round, like I think there are two guys who are in the 2023 draft class who are currently pitching in the big leagues right now.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Skeens is one, Jake Bloss is the other. There's a little difference in just kind of the talent level between the two.
Yeah, one of these is not like the other.
A little bit.
One of them started the All-Star game. The other one gave up a bunch of homers to the A's the other day. So they, obviously they need starting pitching help. The fact that, I mean, Verlander is trending, it seems like, in the right direction. I guess we'll find out more about that tomorrow when Espada talks to the media. But the fact that they have lost as many starting pitchers as they have, and we can go down the list, Urquidy, Javier, JP France. Now Verlander's on the IL again for a second time. There are some of the other minor league guys that have gotten hurt. The fact that the only pitcher, starting pitcher that they've brought in from outside the organization is Eric Lauer, who cannot get a spot in this rotation, even with all the injuries, it's pretty baffling to me. It's just kind of the complacency that they have operated with.
Well, so I guess and that's been my point, though, is like the only reason for Spencer Arrighetti and Jake Bloss's existence on this team is the attrition angle. It's the fact that they've had these injury issues. And so we know that based on that, they probably shouldn't be up here anyway. But I think there has been some kind of like feel good story in having a Ronel Blanco show up the way that he has, Hunter Brown turning things around the way that he ended up doing, where maybe you Spencer Arrighetti at times looking serviceable. And so there's been kind of this thought of, hey, well, you can just plug and play and everything will be okay. And the fact that they've been playing well over the last, you know, month plus or however long it's been. But then you see these last two outings with those two guys and you're like, oh, no, actually, that's not going to work. If you got serious goals and aspirations, Jake Bloss and Spencer Arrighetti, at least right now, maybe in the future, but 2024 right now, that's not
going to
cut it.
You know, I think Arrighetti was always going to get a chance. I mean, he was in big league camp for a good portion of spring training. So he was always going to get the opportunity. I don't think there is any scenario that they planned out over the winter and into spring training where they thought, you know what? Jake Bloss is going to make his debut this season. Mm-hmm. I don't think they had any inclination that that was going to happen. And I don't think they wanted it to happen, but they were forced into it. And this has been a team, they've wanted to go to a six-man rotation at a lot of different times this season, but they have not been able to because they don't have six healthy starting pitchers that they really believe in. And I don't know if they have five starting pitchers or even four that they believe in right now. So the fact that they have not, it's staggering to me that they have not looked to go to bring in another starting pitcher from outside the organization. It would have been a whole lot easier to do it once Urquidy and Verlander and France were not 100% during camp.
Yeah.
And now you're forced into probably having to overpay to bring in somebody who may not even be that good at this point of the season. So I think that they have kind of dropped the ball with how they've handled this.
And in the midst of all this, you're entering a pretty interesting and tougher
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's the one that had me confused in the offseason, and I was critical of it just because I didn't understand it, and I needed to see what it was going to look like at training camp to feel better about it. Not that, you know, I'm doubting D'Amico and Nick Caserio, any of that. Like, I don't get it. Yeah. Like, I don't get it. We can trust all we want, but if I don't understand something, I just got to be honest with you. Like, hey, Malik Collins and Sheldon Rankins were pretty decent for you last year, at least I thought. Why did you want to change this entire unit?
Yeah.
And then we go out there and look, and you see, obviously, Daniil Hunter and Will Anderson on the edge. It speaks for itself. Like, that's dynamic. But D'Nico Autry, massive, massive dude, and a badass by all accounts.
Yeah.
And Mario Edwards.
Rio.
Rio, who we never talked about, did not discuss at all throughout the offseason, and then we get to training camp and Will Anderson says, oh yeah, by the way, that's my favorite player to watch. And then we see him lining up next to Will Anderson on passing downs and in scrimmages.
So the one thing I was concerned, I was low-key concerned about it. I wasn't as bad, but Now, I'm not really concerned about the cornerback position, man. Them guys was physical the last couple practices, man. I think Okuda got a pick in one of these practices, but I'm not really that concerned about it, man. I feel like, you know, maybe one of them is not a Steven Nelson, but I feel like they got about three good guys that, you know, that could possibly be a number two. And, oh, by the way, they got a rookie that's probably should be the other starter on the side of Stingley.
Yeah.
I would almost be surprised. I say this, figure. I'd be surprised if they don't have at least one guy between all of those that we just talked about, that you just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be surprised if they don't have at least one among them that can't be a Steven Nelson.
See, that, and that's how I went into training camp, because I'm like, man, they signed two guys that can probably be fighting for that number two spot. And they got a rookie. I'm like, if all three of these guys can't be as good or close to Steven Nelson, then we have a big problem.
I'm a lot less worried about that position opposite of Derek Stingley, like you, Figgy. I know we talked a lot about Kamari Lassiter. We even talked to him earlier in the week. But from where we sit right now, I'd say that I would be comfortable with either Kamari Lassiter or Jeff Okuda. So there's two options that I'd feel perfectly fine with right now, just based off of what we've seen so far, that I feel comfortable with right now opposite of Derek Stingley Jr. That's where I'm at with the cornerback position, Lopez.
So my second one, man, is at first I wasn't worried about this position, but now I'm a little worried. Running back, man. I'm a little worried now.
Tell
because
more,
I know Mixon was a little dinged up. He wasn't practicing out there, but it kind of got me thinking, like, man, once we get in the regular season, are we going to go through this where Mixon misses a game and miss a couple weeks or something like that? We're going to be relying on Damian Pierce, man.
Yeah.
So I'm a little worried about that.
Yeah.
And see, that's reasonable to me, because while I feel better about Damian Pierce based off of what we've seen at camp, so I would be fine if, let's say, Damian Pierce is having that resurgence that everybody wants him to have.
Mm-hmm.
I would feel fine about relying more on him. But if you can't rely on Joe Mixon, I don't necessarily feel great about the depth behind Damian Pierce.
You see, that's where I'm getting at.
Yeah.
I will feel better. Like, I think Damian Pierce is going to have a bounce back year, but I don't want to just rely on Damian Pierce, man. I don't want to just rely on Joe Mixon. We need a couple more guys out there where we can, you know, have a running back by committee. So that's where I'm kind of at with it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I that's fair. That's absolutely fair, because the running back position, I mean, we're all going to be watching it. I mean, hell, we're talking about it during the Hall of Fame game. Let's see what British Brooks has got.
You know? Yeah, and again, the depth behind him, like, you are a Joe Mixon being older and more injured
type of situation
away from being essentially the 2022 Texans that – And again, obviously, C.J. Stroud, D'Amico Ryans, I get it. But from the running back position group, in terms of that, Damian Pierce or bust.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what that was.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you don't want to go back to that. You absolutely don't want to go back to that. John Lopez, Brandon Scott, Figgy Fig on In the Loop. Coming up next on Localizer, we got to talk about this fight,
yesterday.
And also, the Astros made a little bit of hay yesterday by winning and got some help within the division. We'll talk about that next on In the Loop.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Localize It. Sports Radio 610.
All right, so while we have been broadcasting live from the Houston Methodist Training Center, Texans training camp, the Astros have been on the road. Adam Spillane, Sports Radio 610, joins us. And Spo, a little bit underrated storyline in Houston sports. It's the Astros losing the series to the Oakland A's. It ain't the end of the world, because guess what? They won yesterday. And they got a little favor within the division, and now they are back in sole possession of the top spot in the AL West. Tell me if I'm wrong in this. Let me ask you this. The biggest takeaway from that series against the A's, and there are a couple, has to be how much we underscore the need for starting pitching, how much we can underscore the need for innings and extra depth in that rotation, which we already knew, but it was underscored.
Yeah, I don't think that it's something that we've underscored, to be honest. I think we've talked about it plenty, that this is a serious need. And you saw the two games that they lost in Oakland, the two starting pitchers, rookie starting pitchers, really struggled. Arrigetti struggled on, Monday? Mm-hmm. And then Jake Bloss really struggled on Tuesday. And it just reminds you that these are two guys that you are really having to rely on who probably aren't ready for this. Especially, I mean, Bloss was drafted a year ago. So to be a third round, like I think there are two guys who are in the 2023 draft class who are currently pitching in the big leagues right now. Mm-hmm. Paul Skeens is one, Jake Bloss is the other. There's a little difference in just kind of the talent level between the two.
Yeah, one of these is not like the other.
A little bit.
One of them started the All-Star game, the other one gave up a bunch of homers to the A's the other day. So they obviously they need starting pitching help. The fact that, I mean, Verlander is trending, it seems like, in the right direction. I guess we'll find out more about that tomorrow when Espada talks to the media. But the fact that they have lost as many starting pitchers as they have, and we can go down the list, Urquidy, Javier, J.P. France, now Verlander's on the IL again for a second time. There are some of the other minor league guys that have gotten hurt. The fact that the only pitcher, starting pitcher, that they've brought in from outside the organization is Eric Lauer, who cannot get a spot in this rotation, even with all the injuries, it's pretty baffling to me. It's just kind of the complacency that they have operated with.
Well, so I guess, and that's been my point, though, is like the only reason for Spencer Arrigetti and Jake Bloss's existence on this team is the attrition angle. It's the fact that they've had these injury issues. And so we know that based on that, they probably shouldn't be up here anyway. But I think there has been some kind of like feel good story in having a Ronel Blanco show up the way that he has, Hunter Brown turning things around the way that he ended up doing, where maybe you Spencer Arrigetti at times looking serviceable. And so there's been kind of this thought of, hey, well, you can just plug and play and everything will be okay. And the fact that they've been playing well over the last, you know, month plus or however long it's been. But then you see these last two outings with those two guys and you're like, oh, no, actually, That's not going to work. If you've got serious goals and aspirations, Jake Bloss and Spencer Arrigetti, at least right now, maybe in the future, but 2024 right now, that's not
going to
cut it.
Yeah, you know, I think Arrigetti was always going to get a chance. I mean, he was in big league camp for a good portion of spring training, so he was always going to get the opportunity. I don't think there is any scenario that they planned out over the winter and into spring training where they thought, you know what? Jake Bloss is going to make his debut this season. Mm-hmm. I don't think they had any inclination that that was going to happen. And I don't think they wanted it to happen, but they were forced into it. And this has been a team, they've wanted to go to a six-man rotation at a lot of different times this season, but they have not been able to because they don't have six healthy starting pitchers that they really believe in. And I don't know if they have five starting pitchers or even four that they believe in right now. So the fact that they have not, it's staggering to me that they have not looked to go to bring in another starting pitcher from outside the organization. It would have been a whole lot easier to do it once Urquidy and Verlander and France were not 100% during camp.
Yeah.
And now you're forced into probably having to overpay to bring in somebody who may not even be that good at this point of the season. So I think that they have kind of dropped the ball with how they've handled this.
And in the midst of all this, you're entering a pretty interesting and tougher few games here. Dodgers coming in. We know about them. You're going to face Paul Skeens with the Pirates if everything goes according to...
And the Pirates, by the way, it's not just Paul Skeens.
No,
That's a good team that is playing really, really well right now.
You're
one of the hottest teams in the National
League. I looked up the standings about 4 or 5 days ago and was like, wait a minute. Yeah. The Pirates are good.
And speaking of the standings, don't look now, but the Rangers seem to be getting their crap together. They're only 2 games behind the Mariners, 3 games behind the Astros.
I would almost say if I had to rank the team,
and that's the next team.
I had to rank teams at just in likelihood of winning the division, the Mariners would be third. It would be Astros, Rangers, and then the Mariners. The Mariners just look they're in a really bad place right now, and they've got a bunch of guys hurt.
Yeah. So the Astros bats woke up a bit yesterday, but prior to that, they had been a little cool. They had cooled off a bit. Yeah. Why do you think that is? What do you think is the source of some of the struggles that the offense has been faced with the last week plus, whatever it's been?
So some of it is opponent based. Like, guess when you go to Seattle for 3 games, especially when you've been off for, you know, 3-4 days, you're not going to hit all that much. And they weren't great against the Rangers either. But I mean, the other thing is just losing Kyle Tucker catches up to you at some point, especially when you are replacing him with, I mean, there's a drop off. Let's just say there is a drop off from Kyle Tucker to Trey Cabbage or Jake Loper or
Joey Loperfido.
Yeah, Joey Loperfido. And Chaz McCormick, like that's a pretty significant drop off. And the fact that they have been able to survive offensively for as long as they've had. They've had, you know, in these 2 months without Tucker, it's been pretty remarkable, especially when you consider it's not like Yordan Alvarez has been on some heater, or Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman have been on some heaters. They've just gotten really solid contributions from a lot of different guys. But at some point, you need stars, and they lack stars. They've got two, maybe three.
Yeah.
All right, so Texans training camp. You've been out there for a few practices. The big story yesterday, unfortunately for some of the competitive play that we actually saw out there, was the scrum, if you will, the fight, if you will. Positive or negative, hate it or love it, what are your thoughts on training camp fights, and particularly the one that happened yesterday with the Texans?
So tell me this. I haven't even seen the video of this.
Oh, you should.
Yeah. Were there punches thrown?
It was like a two-handed
borderline
to the side of the head.
Borderline.
First of all, don't do that.
Yeah.
No shots to the helmets, because that's how you break hands and break fists and that sort of stuff. So don't do that. But no, I don't think it matters. Like, you want guys to be competitive.
So not a punch, but a blindsided shot. Like
to the helmet.
To the neck helmet area. Okay. Not looking.
Don't aim for the helmet again, because the helmet is always winning that battle. You're going to break your hand if you do that. So don't do that. But no, it's competition. Mm-hmm. And I think that you want to see guys that are competitive, even if they're on the same team. It happens all the time.
What I hate about it. And two things. Number one, and the bozos at NFL Notifications, who unfortunately have a lot of followers, that's why I mentioned it.
Screw those bozos.
Yeah, said, Stephon Diggs was in the middle of a fight at training camp. Are we surprised? Stephon Diggs walked away, got up and walked away, and then ultimately was the peacemaker. I hate that people are going to automatically, you know, throw him in there because of whatever happened in Minnesota, or they think happened in Minnesota or Buffalo. That's number one. And number two, and this is where I disagree with you, weird things happen in scrums like that. Yeah. And number seven was in the middle of the scrum. Number seven was in the middle of the scrum. All good, but one fall, one hit from behind, one whatever, and we're singing an entirely different tune here.
No, you're right about that. You know, get him out of the way.
Yeah.
And don't hit anybody. You know, you can push and shove all you want, but get the quarterback out of the way. Get any other important players out of the way, and then don't throw punches.
Now, to his credit, as B. Scott pointed out, he did immediately kind of go, "Oops," and get out of there.
Yeah,
but he was in the middle of it.
It seemed like, and I'm not saying that he was front of mind, because obviously tempers were flaring and they were trying to get after it, and whatever way they were trying to get after it. But it did seem like, you know, nobody was going after C.J. Stroud.
No, but he had his back turned to the scrum.
Oh, but when he would see something, react. And then when he'd see the other more physical and, let's be honest, less valuable guys going in there to break up the fight, then he would pull back.
Out,
so there was some awareness with C.J. Stroud and not, you know, making
sure. But there was a few moments where you're like, get out of there.
Here's what I say, though. I'm with Adam on liking the competitive spirit. I was surprised that Derek Stingley was involved in it the way that he was.
Yeah.
But I did like whatever fire in the belly that they showed. I was able to appreciate that. My thing, Lopez, with this, like, perception of it, is like, I am not going to blame or hold it against the team for the ignorance of the rest of the world. Like, everybody else should have done the thing that Adam Spillane just came in here and did and said, hey, you know what? I haven't seen the entire video. Let me ask you a question about it before I start talking ignorant and crazy.
Yeah.
I wish 95% of Twitter could operate that way, because you got all these people that weren't there, have no context, have no idea what was going on, and they're talking about, oh, Stephon Diggs was in the middle of the fight. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, and listen, whatever people are going to say, you know, people are always going to jump to conclusions. That's just how the world is. People are lazy. They don't, like, go watch the videos, or they don't take the time to find out what actually happened. My only concern would be if it's like six guys from the offense against six guys from the defense, because that's when you, like, have divisions. If it's just two guys who are heated after one play, whatever, that's going to happen. But you start to, like, hey, maybe we have some problems here if it's like the whole offense squaring off against the whole defense.
Yeah, in a general sense, I'm kind of with you, other than the two things I pointed out. Yeah. I hate for Stephon Diggs, who's been like the perfect student so far, and then all of a sudden people are thinking this and that, and the C.J. Stroud. But in a general sense, macro, I kind of have no big problem with it. I just feel like part of it, and part of the reason I don't have a big problem with it, I think it goes to show you just how intense and how many veteran NFL players have their job on the line. I'm not saying, you know, obviously not Derek Stingley, not Dalton Schultz, but the whole thing has been ratcheted up. You know, it's kind of a good thing. Like, the whole intensity level of this camp has been ratcheted up. Because this is a good squad.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah. That's good that the intensity is up because, like, the games matter. And every single game will matter. And they need to be, especially, I mean, they have a big game week one right out the gates. Like, they can't ease their way into this thing.
Yeah.
So, like, they've got to be ready to go. And so that's why you need intensity in practices. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know. We'll talk about this, I'm sure, in the next couple of days. But, like, do they plan on playing guys during preseason games? Because I do think that that's something that benefits them moving forward, is it gets you ready for Indianapolis.
Adam Spillane, appreciate you, sir.
Sure thing.
All right, coming up next, here on In the Loop.
I love when he's surly. I just love when he's surly.
Yeah. Look.
How am I surly today? I'm in a great mood.
He's like pipe.
No, man.
I was surly when I walked in because it's raining, but I'm not surly now.
Dude, the Adam Spillane spirit is one that I am absolutely here for.
Yes.
Absolutely here for.
They should bring that Mobley contract up. Yeah, ooh, really get them.
Hey, oh, yeah. Evan Mobley, thoughts?
There is joy in surliness in Adam Spillane all at the same damn time, and I can appreciate it 100%. He's John Lopez. I'm Brandon Scott. Figgy Fig holding it down here on In the Loop. Coming up next, the players with the most to prove at training camp. The Texans redemption tour. How are they looking? We'll talk about that on the other side. It's In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. All right, so Texans training camp. You've been out there for a few practices. The big story yesterday, unfortunately for some of the competitive play that we actually saw out there, was the scrum, if you will, the fight, if you will. Positive or negative, hate it or love it, what are your thoughts on training camp fights, and particularly the one that happened yesterday with the Texans?
So tell me this. I haven't even seen the video of this.
Oh, you should.
Yeah. Were there punches thrown?
It was like a two-handed
borderline.
To the side of the head.
Borderline.
First of all, don't do that.
Yeah.
No shots to the helmets, because that's how you break hands and break fists and that sort of stuff. So don't do that. But no, I don't think it matters. Like, you want guys to be competitive.
So not a punch, but a blindsided shot.
To the helmet.
To the neck helmet area, okay. Not looking.
Don't aim for the helmet again, because the helmet is always winning that battle. You're going to break your hand if you do that. So don't do that. But no, it's competition. Mm-hmm. And I think that you want to see guys that are competitive, even if they're on the same team. It happens all the time.
What I hate about it. And two things. Number one, and the bozos at NFL Notifications, who unfortunately have a lot of followers, that's why I mentioned it.
Screw those bozos.
Yeah, said, Stephon Diggs was in the middle of a fight at training camp. Are we surprised? Stephon Diggs walked away, got up and walked away, and then ultimately was the peacemaker. I hate that people are going to automatically, you know, throw him in there because of whatever happened in Minnesota, or they think happened in Minnesota or Buffalo. That's number one. And number two, and this is where I disagree with you, weird things happen in scrums like that. Yeah. And number seven was in the middle of the scrum. Number seven was in the middle of the scrum. All good, but one fall, one hit from behind, one whatever, and we're singing an entirely different tune here.
No, you're right about that. You know, get him out of the way.
Yeah.
And don't hit anybody. You know, you can push and shove all you want, but get the quarterback out of the way. Get any other important players out of the way, and then don't throw punches with
Now, to his credit, as B. Scott pointed out, he did immediately kind of go, oops, and get out of there.
Yeah,
but he was in the middle of it.
It seemed like, and I'm not saying that he was front of mind, because obviously tempers were flaring and they were trying to get after it in whatever way they were trying to get after it. But it did seem like, you know, nobody was going after C.J. Stroud.
No, but he had his back turned to the scrum.
Oh, but when he would see something, react. And then when he'd see the other more physical and, let's be honest, less valuable guys going in there to break up the fight, then he would pull back.
Out, yeah.
So there was some awareness with C.J. Stroud and not, you know, making
sure. But there was a few moments where you're like, get out of there.
Here's what I say, though. I'm with Adam on liking the competitive spirit. I was surprised that Derek Stingley was involved in it the way that he was.
Yeah.
But I did like whatever fire in the belly that they showed. I was able to appreciate that. My thing, Lopez, with this, like, perception of it, is like, I am not going to blame or hold it against the team for the ignorance of the rest of the world. Like, everybody else should have done the thing that Adam Spillane just came in here and did and said, hey, you know what? I haven't seen the entire video. Let me ask you a question about it before I start talking ignorant and crazy.
Yeah.
I wish 95% of Twitter could operate that way, because you got all these people that weren't there, have no context, have no idea what was going on, and they're talking about, oh, Stephon Diggs was in the middle of the fight. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, and listen, whatever people are going to say, you know, people are always going to jump to conclusions. That's just how the world is. People are lazy. They don't, like, go watch the videos, or they don't take the time to find out what actually happened. My only concern would be if it's, like, six guys from the offense against six guys from the defense, because that's when you like have divisions. If it's just two guys who are heated after one play, whatever, that's going to happen. But you start to like, hey, maybe we have some problems here if it's like the whole offense squaring off against the whole defense.
Yeah, in a general sense, I'm kind of with you. Other than the two things I pointed out, I hate for Stephon Diggs, who's been like the perfect student so far, and then all of a sudden people are thinking this and that, and the C.J. Stroud. But in a general sense, macro, I kind of have no big problem with it. I just feel like part of it, and part of the reason I don't have a big problem with it, I think it goes to show you just how intense and how many veteran NFL players have their job on the line. I'm not saying, you know, obviously not Derek Stingley, not Dalton Schultz, but guy, the whole thing has been ratcheted up. You know, it's kind of a good thing. Like, the whole intensity level of this camp has been ratcheted up because this is a good squad.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's good that the intensity is up, because, like, the games matter. And every single game will matter. And they need to be, especially, I mean, they have a big game week one right out the gates. Like, they can't ease their way into this thing.
Yeah.
So, like, they've got to be ready to go. And so that's why you need intensity in practices. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know. We'll talk about this, I'm sure, in the next couple of days. But, like, do they plan on playing guys during preseason games? Because I do think that that's something that benefits them moving forward, is it gets you ready for Indianapolis.
Adam Spillane, appreciate you, sir.
Sure thing.
All right, coming up next here on In the Loop.
I love when he's surly. I just love when he's surly.
Yeah. Look,
how am I surly today? I'm in a great mood.
He's like, fight.
No, man.
I was surly when I walked in because it's raining, but I'm not surly now.
Dude, the Adam Spillane spirit is one that I am absolutely here for.
Yes.
Absolutely here for.
They should bring that Mobley contract up. Yeah. Ooh, really get them.
Oh, hey, yeah. Evan Mobley, thoughts?
There is joy in surliness in Adam Spillane all at the same damn time, and I can appreciate it 100%. He's John Lopez. I'm Brandon Scott. Figgy Fig holding it down here on In the Loop. Coming up next, the players with the most to prove at training camp. The Texans' redemption tour. How are they looking? We'll talk about that on the other side. It's In the Loop, Sports Radio 610.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.